for us this morning. I don't know about everyone else, but 2016 has been a very busy and intense and hectic time for me so far. It's all been about work, work, and more work. And here we are on this 7th of February. It's only been 4 or 5 weeks since the new year. And I mean, all I know, I returned to work on the 4th of January after Christmas, and bang, just lots of work flying from all directions. I work in graphics for an investment company in their graphics department, and a lot of the work I do involves producing charts and graphs for financial presentations. So often I'm given not much notice, actually, to complete presentations for potential clients and for the clients we already have as well. So sometimes when I'm about to leave to go home, it's maybe 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and I might get an email or a phone call saying, we really need a particular presentation to be done, and it needs to be done tonight because the presentation is first thing in the morning. So then I stay for another hour, 2 hours, and then I go, and then that means I get home late. But when I get home, the busyness continues. There's no chance for me to put my feet up. And my wife, Mercy, she works from home doing childcare. So she's looking after children all day. And so if I come home late, it really does impact upon her day. She then, when she's finished looking after the children in her care, she then has to deal with our delightful three. So recently, I've just been thinking about just how busy and hectic life can be. And it's made me realize the importance of all the day-to-day things that we do. All the day-to-day things in our lives, the practical things that we do in our jobs, studying at college, bringing up children, and how our attitude to these situations helps us to learn to serve. Learn to serve each other and learn to serve God. There's a verse of scripture that I always find inspiring during my busy and hectic times. And it's in the book of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul says this. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we shall reap a harvest if we do not give up. And verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So this doing good I've highlighted, and do good, what does it mean? What does it look like? Well, I thought it might be a good idea to look up the word good. I know it's a common word, we use it every day, but I thought let's consult Roger's trusty thesaurus, so we can understand what kind of good Paul was referring to. Slide number 2, please. So again, I've highlighted a few things there. So good. It says benefit, favor, bless, help, serve, avail, and be of service. So doing good, as the Apostle Paul was talking about in Galatians, can involve serving or being of service in some capacity. However, sometimes when I'm just so tired and weary and being really grouchy, the last thing I want to do is serve. Not in the way that Paul talks about. I just want to down tools and just do nothing. But then another verse completely changes my mind, and it's Matthew 20, verse 25 to 28. Leading up to this situation, James and John and their mother, they began petitioning Jesus about having prominent positions in heaven. But Jesus, so the disciples were actually quite upset with James and John, the other disciples. So Jesus, it says here, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their high officials, and exercise authority over them. And he says this, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And then this is the verse that really stops me in my tracks. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Every time I read these verses, I'm just blown away by them. Jesus came to earth as the Son of Man to serve. That's what this verse says. That's what Jesus says. He said it in his own words. So if I am, we are, to look to Jesus as our role model, how do we serve one another? How do we serve in the world around us as Jesus would serve? So if we look at another slide, again, good. But then I've highlighted this active verb, be useful. Again, looking at Galatians 6, it says, let us do good to all, in verse 10. So by doing good, we are serving, we are making ourselves useful. I remember growing up and my mum would often be busy around the house doing all the domestic chores, and I'd be with my brothers and sisters. I have two brothers and two sisters, and we'd be just playing and having fun, and my mum would be looking at us to try and help her, and we were just not having any of it. And in her exasperation, my mum would say, why don't you make yourselves useful? In other words, she was saying, lend a hand, help me out. And in our day-to-day lives, as a sign of our faith in Jesus, how might we follow his example and serve one another, help each other out? How we serve, how we make ourselves useful to people around us is really important. If we are helpful, useful, considerate in the small things in our lives, through them we can be built up, trained up to serve and to be a blessing in the bigger things. I believe if God wants to use you, use us, he will first prepare. He'll prepare us. And he might just be preparing you in the small things in your life. Look at Moses. Before Moses led Israel out of Egypt, God led him into the wilderness for 40 years to look after sheep. God was training him up for the much bigger task 40 years later, the bigger, more significant role of leading Israel. I must admit that one of the hardest things that I have to do every day is to prepare myself for domestic chores at home, especially after a hard day at work. I don't really want to do them, but I know that by doing them, I'm serving my family. I'm doing good for them. Now, there might be lots of little things in your life that you don't like doing, but I want to encourage you to keep in mind that whatever and however you are choosing to make yourselves useful in helping, in serving others, God sees and understands and appreciates the good that you're doing. And you know, he might just be preparing you for something else, preparing your hearts, preparing your bodies, preparing your minds for that future task, that future role he has for you. Just like he prepared Moses for something far bigger than leading sheep. So wherever you are, at home, at work, school, college, university, making yourselves useful, being helpful, doing good, I urge you to keep doing those things. Keep going, keep serving, keep on being a blessing wherever you are. If you're at the bus stop and you're considerate to others, you let other people board the bus ahead of you, you lend a hand to someone struggling with luggage to get on or off the tube or escalator, keep doing these things. It's good. I believe God uses these small things to establish a good foundation of service, of usefulness in our lives. And God can build on this. He can build on these things. I believe it's how he often begins training and equipping us to serve, whether at home, at work, school, or the church, building up our hearts to serve people. Even in those horrible jobs that we don't like to do, it might be part of God's training program in starting to equip you to do something incredible. Hands up who likes to put out rubbish. No one likes putting out rubbish, but it has to be done. And, you know, putting the rubbish out really is a good thing. It's a good thing. It helps to keep the house clean, right? I mean, after we've finished having our lunch today, rubbish bags will have to be put out, or else the hall will be a complete mess. It's a good thing to put rubbish out. Don't knock it. Serving sometimes means doing things, even when we don't feel like doing them. Things we don't, you know, we just say, no, that's not me. But I would encourage you to keep going. Keep doing things that are good, that are right. God sees all the good that you're doing, sees your servant heart. I believe having a servant heart is what God wants from us so that we can be useful. He can use us to do good to and to do good for one another. So Jesus is our role model in what it is to be a servant, in doing good by serving. You know, every week in this church, I see people doing good, serving, being useful. And I'm so grateful that I'm here. I've been coming here for about 15 years. And in those years, I've been learning to serve, to be more useful by what I've seen around me. I've seen people turn up early every Sunday to set up this hall for church, setting out all the chairs, all the AV equipment, the instruments, the musicians come in early to set up, to rehearse. All the tables being set up for information about the church, the teas and the coffees. I could go on and on and on. So much good, excellent work being done here, all so that we might serve God, serve each other, and seek to serve those who don't know Jesus. So all of you, I would urge you to keep going, keep doing those good things that you're doing in the church or at home or at work or school. Keep doing them. Keep being useful. Keep serving, even in those small things. I'd just like to finish by saying that wherever you find yourself this morning, wherever you are planted, be it for a short season or a longer period, your good deeds, your usefulness and acts of service are not going unnoticed. I believe God sees and appreciates them as your offering to him. The Apostle Paul said we shouldn't grow weary of doing good, as at the proper time we shall reap a harvest. But you know, perhaps this morning you are feeling weary, weary in helping, weary in serving others, in always making yourself available, useful, in always trying to do good. If that's you this morning, if you've grown weary, if you feel like giving up, just come up to the front here. Come as you are for prayer. Some of the teenagers will be coming to help with the prayer time. So please, if you want to come up to the front, don't feel embarrassed. Just come. And we'll pray. We'll meet Jesus in prayer. Thank you.
So we're going to sing a little bit. So, you know, just allow God to work in your heart now. And, you know, as we've been touched by what David's been saying, we'll just sing these simple songs. And then I would encourage you to let the children pray for you, because God really moves through them. And I have felt very changed when they've prayed for me.
As Paul has already said, it's a real privilege. Well, it's a privilege for me and for Mercy to be leading the service today. I just think that this all age service is a good opportunity for us to really lift our voices to the Lord. But before we do that, Angelina is going to tell us something about flags.
Thanks. Have a few notes here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Angelina, and I needed to share an encouragement with you. Because, I don't know if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we had this session with the spontaneous dancing here at the front, and I just loved it, because it's so much freedom and joy here. I just loved it. And I was once again reminded of the power of worship, because do we actually realize that we have a direct encounter with the Almighty God? Like, there's nothing in between. It's just you and him. And I still remember the first time that I held up my hand in a service was when I was around about 16. And tears were running down my face. And at the beginning, it was very shy and careful. It was like, can I approach him like that? Am I good enough to do it? And tears were running down my face because I noticed that something in me has changed incredibly. And I was overwhelmed by his gentleness and his power. And then I started to raise my hands like really high, and I enjoyed the freedom and the joy, and I couldn't stop worshiping him for a long time. It was on a camp which lasted about 1 week, and I enjoyed every session so much. But then I came to a point where I realized that words are just not enough to express how I feel about him and how to passionately show him my love and my gratefulness. So, and that's actually the moment when dancing takes off, when you can't hold it back. It's like something starts to move and you just have to do more than just telling him. And I loved it, so I started to dance. And there's one man in the Bible who's very well known for his passionate dancing before the Lord, and that's King David. It says in 2 Samuel 6:14-15, wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. And in Psalm 149, David encourages us, let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. God loved David, and David loved God back passionately without thinking about what people are thinking about him. Because he, as the king, literally ripped up his clothes and was jumping in front of the Lord, and he looked really stupid in man's eyes, but he did it nevertheless. And God calls him a man after his own heart. Given the fact that it is rather chilly here, I would suggest we keep our clothes on today. But the point I wanted to make is that there are more dimensions in worship, and that God holds them for his beloved children, which are you. And I admit that this sounds challenging at the beginning, and I'm including Mir here too, because I didn't feel very comfortable to just move on my own without having something in my hand. So flags can be very handy here and can help a lot to just do it. And besides this very practical advantage, flags have a significant meaning in the Bible. And I never knew this, but it's incredible, really. In battles, the flags and banners were always in the front line to lead the army and to give orientation throughout the battle. And to weaken the opponent, the army was always trying to remove their flag to take their orientation away. And in the Bible, in the Bible, Jesus is said to be our banner. So in Isaiah 11:10, it says, at that time, as to the root of Jesse, who will be standing as a banner for the peoples, the nations will rally to him, and his resting place is glorious. He is outstanding, leading, shining from afar. God himself has put up his banner, and the difference to the human banner is that Jesus will never get lost. He is never defeated. He himself defeated the enemy, and he leads us. Yahweh Nissi is the name that God reveals himself after the first battle that the Hebrew against Amalek, when the Hebrews were in the desert after the Exodus. And the Hebrews knew the Egyptian symbols embellished with idols, but God wanted to avoid them to rely on these Egyptian idols. So that was the name he gave himself after the first battle, saying that you won because I am your banner. I'm the Lord your banner. So what happens when we are waving for legs during the next minutes? And we even start to dance with them, probably. The worship is enriched with another dimension of freedom. The actual dancer experiences another way of worshiping God, and the people watching are strengthened as well during their worship, as they are reminded of this very powerful picture of him. He's the victorious, everlasting banner for us. So, the flags are lying on each side, a few of them over here, and I really want to encourage you to, if you have never done this before, take a flag and realize what it means, because you won the game already. And yeah, essentially it's all about praising him with all we are and to overcome man-made, culturally bound hurdles that say you shouldn't do that, this doesn't look good, you look silly. He says, David is a man after my own heart. I love this. So, and I would ask all parents to look after their children to make sure the flags are really used carefully and purposefully, because it's very strong. It's not, yeah. Wow, I'm so looking forward to worship right now.
Thank you, Angelina. That's really encouraging for us, just as we are going into to worship. So if we could perhaps all stand up as we lift our voices and our banners. As Angelina said, there are banners either side of the hall. So let's worship.
Angelina said it all. So can you just say, turn to your neighbor and just say to your neighbor, give me space because I'm going to dance without any inhibitions. Just give me that space. So, you know, it'd be good for everyone to really go for it this morning. Let's give God the praise that he deserves. Hallelujah.
If you just want to grab a seat for a second, you don't want to interrupt. It's a fantastic time to praise him. Tribe are going to come up in a moment, and some of the year sixes. But first of all, we're just going to show you the memory verse we've been doing in Flame. I think we've got a picture of it. Hey, there it is. So in Flame, which is the children's primary school age group, and in Tribe, some of the older ones, we've been reading Mark's Gospel, these little blue books. Look at this one. Look at this. Look what's happened to it. Because a child is avidly reading in this book and has obviously read it quite a bit, possibly, or has had a bit of a crisis. But we've been reading these blue books, and this is a verse from it. And so Flame are trying to learn two verses, actually. It's the bit about the baptism of Jesus, which is in the very first chapter. Would anybody from Flame be brave enough to come up and have a go at saying the first tiny bit? Does anybody think they're brave enough? Do you want to have a go? Good man. What do you think? Do you want to have a quick revision? Quick revision. Oh, Kelechi. Oh, impressive. But Joseph was the first one up. Right, okay. We've had a revision. Now we're turning round. We're turning round. Brilliant. Do you want to have a go, Joseph, since you went up first? It starts as soon as.
As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove.
Oh, impressive. I'm going to get them to do it together. That's much harder. They're going to try and do it together. You ready?
As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove.
Oh, impressive. Kelechi. Oh, you're not allowed to look. He's having a final revision.
As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Holy Spirit coming down on him like a dove.
Superb. Superb.
As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove.
Brilliant. Perfect. So we're hoping that by Easter we'll have finished this. We'll have finished the whole book. That's the plan. 16 chapters. And that they'll have learnt both verses. So we'll watch this space. We'll come back and try and do both verses. Brilliant. Do you want to have a go? Do you want to have a go? Sorry, I didn't even see you there.
As soon as he came out of the water, he saw heaven opening.
Amazing. And the Spirit? That is pretty impressive. Ian, he's in reception, is he? Impressive from reception. Well done. Brilliant. We need Michelle and Tribe. Where is Michelle? Ah, she's here. Oh, some of Tribe here. And the year six is if you've written something.
Right, Joe's asked the group from Tribe a few questions about Mark's Gospel. So here are their answers.
I've read up to chapter 5, and so far we've learnt about the miracles of Jesus and some of the parables. My favourite parable is parable of sower, because it tells us what we need to be, how to be a good follower of God.
So far, we have read up to chapter 5 of the book, Mark's Gospel. I do not have a favorite story because I think they're all brilliant. But my favorite verse is, the Sabbath was made for the good of the human beings. They were not made for the Sabbath. At first, I struggled to understand some of the morals of the stories. But as our group tried, we discussed them and made it easier.
I have got to chapter 4 and we have got to the parables of Jesus and what Jesus said to them. I don't have a favorite verse because all of them teach you a story.
I have read chapter 5. Each week as a group, we read a chapter together. My favorite story is the parable of the sower because it has lots of meaning behind it that you can relate to. My favorite verse is, whoever does what God wants him to do is my brother, my sister, my mother, because it means all of us are God's family. I find this really enjoyable and easy to read because if you don't understand anything, we discuss it in tribe together.
I've got to Mark 11, and my favourite story has been when Jesus calls Matthew because it means that he can have anyone to be his follower. And my favourite verse is Mark 2:17 when he says, people who are well do not need a doctor, but only people who are sick. I have come for outcasts. And then he says, some bits have been a bit difficult to read.
The Mark's Good News Gospel is a really good book. So far I've got to chapter 3 and I'm really enjoying reading it. My favourite part is Jesus heals a paralysed man, especially when Jesus forgave his sins. It is very easy to read and I really do recommend it.
I have read up to Mark chapter 12, verse 13. My favourite part is Mark chapter 7, verses 14-23, which is called The Things That Make a Person Unclean, because I would think that by unclean, Jesus meant physically unclean, but he says that it is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean, and how from a person's heart come the evil ideas which lead him to do immoral things. For me, it's been quite easy to read the things written in the book, because after each paragraph, I stop and try to understand what I have just read.
I have got to Mark chapter 10. My favourite story is the parable of the sower, because Jesus really explains it. My favourite verse is Mark chapter 3, verse 13-14, which says, then Jesus went up to the hill and called to himself the men he wanted. I like it because that's when Jesus got his 12 disciples. It's not very difficult to read because it's a straightforward Bible. So personally, I think Mark's gospel is a great gospel and I recommend it to anyone.
Guys, thank you so much. Fantastic. Well done. So if you feel like you're missing out, do join us and read Mark's gospel. The plan is to read it by Easter, okay? To finish it by Easter Sunday morning. That's the plan. Wonderful. We're going to... Yes. We are going to flame, are going to do a dance. This is to a wonderful song. We got a video thing where the words will come up behind. So we need Flame to come up to the front and kind of get organised. Eseli and Eliza and Anna are going to kind of lead it. I think Eseli and Eliza kind of choreographed this and put it together. It's a wonderful song. They felt that God spoke to them. And I'm just going to quickly share the things they saw. Because they were so wonderful, and I've thought about them all week. Joel, Haruna, saw a picture of a dark alleyway, and then he saw light coming into the alleyway. And we felt that this was God wanting to come into dark situations where we can't see an answer, but he's wanting to bring his light. And at the end, the teenagers apparently are willing to pray among us as adults and for us. And so these three things that the children saw, maybe think about these. So the first one was that he saw someone in a difficult situation and light came. Then Jonathan Chueli saw, and he'd felt God really touch his heart, and he saw a rock that was covered in mud. And God came and he cleansed and washed this rock. And he washed it so much that it turned into a different colour because of his great washing that he did. And some of us, I know, are feeling this great need for God to so cleanse and wash our hearts. So think about that one. Then the third one was Eliza, I think, saw a picture of someone who was eating junk food and they were being offered better food than that. They were being offered healthy, wonderful food. And we felt that this was where we're feeding on stuff in our lives, not literal food, but, you know, the TV, the news, the newspapers, the social media, stuff where we're trying to feed, but actually there's this other food. There's this living bread. There's this living water for us. And that he's calling many of us to turn from what's empty to something that can actually satisfy our hearts. So maybe have a think about those three things, and perhaps at the end when the teenagers pray, if you'd like to, they could pray for us for those things. So we are going to try and act out one of the stories from Mark's Gospel. This is an instant drama. I need Michelle and Elaine to come up as my helpers. Behind that little cupboard over there are some costumes. One or two people have already been cast. Are we going to try and act out a story? You'll see what story it is in a minute. So we need somebody we're going to need some men because there's a bit of carrying involved, okay? Bob, you've already been seconded in. You are the health and safety inspector. His one, yeah, that's it. He's got a clipboard. Sorry about the hat. We couldn't find a hard hat, so he's got a Union Jack one. We need five friends. Now, one of them is Joseph, who's Joseph Stern. Where is he? He's going to come up. Oh, there he is. Brilliant. He's going to be one of the friends. We need four more friends. Yes, John, do you want to be a friend? Brilliant. We need some strong. We need a bit of strength. This friend is the friend who's sick, okay? So we need four healthy. This is what we need. So we need you guys. Just grab any costume, and we need one more. Anna, do you want to come? Do you want to come? We could do with a girl. Otherwise, it's all boys. Then we need more people. We need, this person gets to wear a gold cloak. We need Jesus. Who would like to be Jesus? Yeah, Edward, you want to? Brilliant. It's quite a big cloak, Edward. You may have to sort of haul it up a bit. Brilliant. Oh, they're starting to look pretty good. And then we need a crowd who are both noisy and difficult. Okay, so we'll just take anybody for this. We need a few people. Yeah, Matthew, Luke, wonderful. Lily, lovely. Eliza. Anybody else want to be noisy and difficult? Yeah, Joel, Jonathan. Kalechi. Right, you're the crowd. The crowd have to come over here. And the crowd possibly don't have costumes. I'm not sure, we might run out. So the health and safety inspector's up over there, I think. And the friends are up on the stage. One, two, three. We need two more friends. Anna, you're a friend. Brilliant. Yep. Oh, look at this. Look at these magnificent costumes. Wow. Wow. You're going to come for the crowd? You're going to come and be in the crowd over here?
Joel.
I think maybe little one down, she needs to come. Brilliant. Okay, you're the noisy, difficult crowd. Right, we have Jesus. He's with the crowd, actually. You're with the crowd. Brilliant. I think I sort of need to get out of the way. Oh, dear. Right, here we go. Have we got all the props and everything ready? Okay, wonderful. Okay, so this is the crowd. This is Jesus, and this is the friend. Oh, and the health and safety inspector, of course. Okay, long, long ago. In Israel, there were five very good friends. They all worked together in an orchard, picking fruit. Picking fruit, cutting wood. You didn't know this bit of the story. They trod grapes together, which they loved doing. They leapt in the grapes together, leaping in the grapes. Very, very impressive work going on here. And then at the end of every long day, they always loved to play football together, a quick game of football. There was a football, but you might have to imagine it. Probably imaginary is better. And when they'd done that, they sat down together for a lovely, happy meal. Not from McDonald's, obviously, just a happy meal. But one day, as they were all standing up again, you've had your meal now, they were all standing up when suddenly one of them felt very sick. He groaned. No, 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 no. Whoa, wrong friends. Okay, this one felt sick, okay. And he groaned a great groan, and he fell, dramatically, onto his bed. The other four friends rushed to try and help him. They tried to cheer him up. They read him the latest West Ham result, but it only cheered him up briefly. Then they tried offering him something to eat. Whoa. One friend brought him some grapes. Oh, grapes. But he didn't want those. Another friend brought him a bright orange. Oh, there's the orange, the bright orange. But he just pushed it away. Then the third friend brought him a lovely lobster. Usually he loved this, but he pushed it away. And then finally, the fourth friend saved up all his money and bought him a packet of sweets. Oh, but he didn't even want the sweets. Now they knew he was really ill. Suddenly, though, there was a great commotion. There was a crowd going past. So the crowd, you've got to come past here. And round, maybe down here. Here, Joel, round the front. Round they went. Huge, noisy crowd. And in the midst of the crowd, there was a man called Jesus. You've got to have Jesus in the middle of the crowd. And they piled into their house, which was here, just in front of where the man was sick. The man's four friends leapt to their feet. The man's four friends leapt to their feet. They leapt. And then they said, oh, we must take him to Jesus. But the sick man groaned. By now his teeth were chattering. Oh, he's groaning and chattering. He couldn't walk at all. He was much too ill. Well, there's nothing for it, said the friends. We're going to have to carry him to Jesus. There are four corners on this mattress. There are four of us and we're strong. At which point they began to, they were going to flex their muscles, but instead they picked him carefully up. But the poor sick man called for the health and safety inspector to supervise everything. He came rushing in with his clipboard, and what did he do? He declared the mattress to be safe. And so without so much as a "How's your father?", the four kind friends scooped him up. I know they've already done that. And they headed down towards the crowd. He's very sick. They headed down towards the crowd. Are you watching, health and safety inspector, who was hurrying along behind? I did ask the parents' permission, actually. Jesus, meanwhile, they tried to push their way in through the crowd to Jesus, but the crowd weren't very nice and pushed them away. Oh, they pushed them back. They didn't fight with them. Then the health and safety inspector by now was feeling quite ill and had to find a chair to sit down in. But they decided they were not going to be put off. Was this going to stop them taking their friend to Jesus? No, they were brave and they were kind and they look a bit tired now. So they hurried up the steps that led to the roof. Very good. And they put their friend down, and they began to dig a hole in the roof. The health and safety inspector felt very unwell now, had to sit down again. But now Jesus looked up at the four kind friends. He realized they'd made a hole in the roof, and then they lowered the man down through the hole. Can we hold on to him? We're going to lower him down in front of the crowd. The crowd moved this time. I'm not quite sure. Matthew, you might have to help. That's it. We need some help from below, I think. Oh, here we go. He's smiling. They got him down. Brilliant. Jesus looked up at the four kind friends. He knew what they wanted him to do. So he looked to the man and he took him by the hand and he cried out in his wonderful voice, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Take up your bed and walk." And to everyone's astonishment, the man began to do just that. "Man, we need you to rise up." Good man. Well done. He grabbed his bed and he swung his bed above his head and the crowd went wild and the friends went wild. And they had a wonderful feast together. The end. Give them a clap. Brilliant. We need you to give your costumes back to Michelle. No, we need you to give them back, I'm afraid. I know you look magnificent. Whew. Amazing. Amazing that no bones were broken. I had trouble sleeping last night thinking about that mattress. Fantastic. We have a children's camp and a youth camp called Carity Wood. And we are launching it today, and we have leaflets. Hang on a second. We've got leaflets that have just been printed. People have been asking for them, and we finally got them. So that's the kids and youth one. And then there's a purple one for adults. And we've also got these sponsorship forms. Over the last few years, people have sponsored children and teenagers to go. It's transformed the camp, opening it up to all sorts of children and teenagers to come who wouldn't have been able to come otherwise. So we've got those forms. You're welcome to sponsor a child or a teenager. I'll have all the forms and all the information at the back while we're having lunch. But somebody came up to me last week and said, "What is Carity Wood like?" And so we thought we would show you James Crawley's fantastic little movie that he made. So I don't know if we could turn the lights down a little bit. And we're just going to show you this clip. It's some pictures from last year's camp, I think. Brilliant.
Johnny, can you share any thoughts with us? Can you share any thoughts on what you think?
Yeah, just hanging out.